Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Keith Angolan.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Welcome then to Modcast 63 with me, Rob, R8XFT. Joining me today are...
Hello, Claire.
COF.
And Typhomance.
Typhomance, this is your first Modcast, so welcome, Power Kai. I know you've been here before last year as well.
Yep.
Hello, COF.
The C in COF stands for Crisis.
All right, what's the O and F stand for?
No, I'll keep that a secret.
Oh. First of all then, guys, what have you been up to lately in the world of modding?
Not a lot, really. It's just been trying to get a couple of civs finished up. We've still got the Greek civilization pact that I know you're very excited for.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been difficult because we've had a bit of an art shortage recently because that's such a big part of it. Lose access to it, the speed slows down, then the whole production line slows down, so to speak. And that does sound kind of bad, but I'm not wanting to throw shade on anyone because Jan does an amazing job on everything. But it's more that we've been so reliant on him that as soon as he's decided he wants to take a break, then we don't know how to survive. So, I mean, Pergamon's coming up close to completion, and that was what was holding up the Greek pack. We had Hyperion come and do the leader scene for it, and that still requires a couple icons. We've also got World War One Serbia. That's nearing completion. That just needs the leader scene. And beyond that, it's just been trying to keep on track of updates.
So how do you find then that as Civ 5 progresses and that there's more additional things that Civs need, how much time do you think is tied up in going back to previous Civs and actually updating them with what they didn't have before? For example, I know that you're doing the India Civs with some events and decisions, I think, aren't you?
Oh, the rate at which JFD moves in terms of releasing a new project like that every month or so, it seems, you're always having to go back and update it. I mean, they've released the next version of the Earth Map pack, and now we've got to go back to all of the Civs and add an extra tree start location data.
I didn't even know about that one. I mean, it doesn't really affect me that much, considering what I do, but I really didn't know about that being updated, so...
I've been asked a few times whether or not I would consider putting some of the Civs in Anno Domini as actual Civs, and the answer's no, purely because of all the extra things that's required. People immediately ask for it to be compatible with so many other bits and pieces. It's just, you know, I haven't got time really to catch up with that. In previous civilization iterations in the past, where I've done Anno Domini or something else, it's been quite easy to take the Civs out and just put them as Civs in their own right, because there wasn't anything else that it required other than a unique unit, maybe.
Yeah.
But all the other things that needs to be compatible are just mind-boggling, I think.
Yeah.
Entitlements, do you find that you need to do many of the extras with the civilizations that you create?
Well, for context, for those people listening that don't know what I do, I've mainly done fictional civs, and so things like true start locations don't matter so much because many of these civs don't actually exist on Earth. Like, the only one I have out now that does have a true start location that I could put on Earth was my first one, which was Warbeacon on Sea from Dad's Army, which you know about, Rob.
Yes, I do, yeah.
But strictly speaking, I probably wouldn't have to be compatible with some of these mods, like ethnic units. I don't strictly have to be compatible with that, because some of these civilizations don't really map to anything in the real world, but I still like to be compatible with things like that, because that's sort of like the standard now, as you say, Rob, that people expect compatibility with these things, and I like to keep my civs up to that standard as well.
I guess with the fictional civs, there's plenty of room for events at least, or decisions. So there'll be things that have happened within the literature, within the stories. You know, maybe a particular episode from Dad's Army might bring up an event that people know that maybe could be modded into those civs. You find that you have that sort of material.
I probably do, yes. The main reason I haven't included support for events and decisions yet is I haven't looked how to do it.
That's okay. No. It's an art form in itself, really. I don't know if you mod like I do, but it's been, for me, mainly a trial and error thing, and just have a look on the forum, see how people have done things, but a lot of it is trial and error, I think.
Also, I want to make sure that this applies to stuff like the unique ability, unique unit and all that. I want to make sure that it's interesting as well. I don't want to put something there for the sake of having it.
I agree totally with that, and that is important. So what got you into modding then with these civs?
Well, really, I'm used to tinkering with the games I play, like not really releasing stuff, but just modding them for my own personal enjoyment. But Civ 5 in particular, I've been using the work of some Civs from like Vice Versa Rosa, like Bounty Mission and other fictional modders, and that sort of inspired me to try my own hand at making my own Civs of characters that I'd like to see in the game. And also because I noticed that Civ 5 seemed to be not too difficult to mod, at least to start with.
Hmm. How do you choose which civilizations that you would actually then mod? Any particular method, or is it just anything that basically catches your fancy?
It's sort of like that. Like, sometimes there are a few characters that I've always wanted to see in the game. The main reason I picked up the Civs from the Super Mario Bros. Series is one of my favourite characters, Rosalina, is from that series. And so I eventually wanted to make a Civ for her, but I thought it would be kind of weird. Well, she's one of the more major characters now, but at the time I considered it, there was only like a civilization for Princess Peach that existed already, and there are other main characters that were sort of more important than Rosalina that I thought should get Civs before her. So like, that's why Bowser of the Koopa Troop was my first Mario Civ. I mean, I like Bowser as well, but I thought if you have a Mushroom Kingdom Civ, you've got to have a Bowser Civ to go and try and give that to Princess.
Mm.
But with some of the other ones I found, it's for like things that I'm interested in at the moment. But I also have to think, like, is there something interesting I can put into Civ based around this character or this series or this book or video game or whatever?
Of course. Do you look at or play with other similar fictional characters, for example, the Vice Virtuoso character, his civilizations?
Oh, yes, I definitely use those a lot when I play. Like, if I have a couple of fictional civilizations, like, one or two isn't really enough for me. I like to have, like, a whole lot of them in the game. And, of course, since I only have a few so far, I have to use others alongside them. And that's fine, because people like Vice Versa, they do some excellent work. That's why they were an inspiration to me, just seeing how well done these other fictional civs are. It makes me want to try and make something that I could be happy with too.
It does. I mean, a lot of the fictional civs, I think, are very thorough. You know, that there's a lot more to them than just the actual fictional civ side. Well, how can I put that?
Yeah, I think I understand what you mean. Like, just trying to get it out based on who's in it alone. Like, I just threw together this unique ability, but, oh, hey, it's this cool fictional character, you should play it. Like, I don't agree with that. I think it should be interesting gameplay-wise in its own right as well. Was that the point you were getting at there?
It was, yeah. That was absolutely it, because, you know, when I look at some of the outlines of the saves and what the different elements do, it's actually quite something quite unique, something different, rather than just being a Warmington on Sea civilization for the sake of having Dad's Army in there. And likewise with the Vice Virtuoso stuff. When you start looking at what the actual civs do and look behind the fiction and say, actually, do you know what? That's a really good and well synergized, put together civilization. That's what I mean, absolutely.
Yes, and also another thing is I usually make civs of stuff that I like, so I want to give them a good representation.
Of course. And I think as well, when you do that, or when you are making sips of something that you actually like, there's more motivation within you, isn't there, to actually make it a really good civilization, to something you like in the first place.
Oh, yes, certainly, because you want to share what you like with other people so you can sell it.
Absolutely. Do you get people that are real hardcore fans of that particular character who suggests that you're doing everything wrong?
Well, I haven't really had much of that yet, to be honest, but...
I like that. I'm not suggesting that you should, or that you will. I just wondered if you did, because sometimes if, for example, if you came across the biggest ever fan in Dad's Army, for example, they might consider that the direction which you took was completely different to the direction they would take, and try to get into some sort of discussion around that. Glad that you haven't had that, though.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be some sort of people thinking that they might have done something differently. I think that's probably true for any sip in general, not just fictional ones. And sometimes someone with a different direction might give you some good ideas. Input is always welcome, as long as it's polite. You don't want people saying that your mod sucks, you should have done this.
Yeah.
The most you can do there is just ignore it, really, because... You can't really let those kind of comments get you down.
No, absolutely not. What's next for you, then, in terms of civilizations?
Well, the ones that are closest to completion at the moment, I've got another Mario Brothers sip on the pipeline, which is Princess Daisy, which may be an odd choice for those people who are not that familiar with Super Mario Brothers and only know her from games like Mario Kart or Mario Party, but she did first originate in a game where she had her own nation called Sarasaland. And Sarasaland, I feel, is a pretty interesting place to make a sip of, because it's well known for being made up of four different separate kingdoms, and they all have a different theme. So there's one based on ancient Egypt, one based on Bermuda, one based on Easter Island, and one based on ancient China. Those places vary a lot because they have different enemies and all that. Like in the Easter Island kingdom, you face enemies based on the Moai statues. My idea for Princess Daisy's civilization was that bring that four kingdoms aspect into it, and each city you build belongs to a different kingdom depending on what lands around it. Sort of like Colonius Legacy's pre-civilization, but instead of just having a new promotion depending on where it is, you get a different unique unit and unique building. Emphasizes how different each of these kingdoms are, even though they're in the same civilization as a whole.
Sounds good. Also, if they're based on those different civilizations, it does seem quite a diverse infrastructure for each of them, doesn't it? I can't think of more different than Bermuda and China, for example.
Yes, that's one of the things I wanted to emphasize here. It's one civilization, but very diverse. The other thing I have in the pipeline right now is civilization based on the K-On! Anime series. I don't know if you're familiar with that, probably not, but...
Personally, I'm not, no. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are that play Civ.
Yes, that's a civilization based around great works of music, because the anime is about club band at an all-girls school in Japan, so sort of like an odd thing to do for a sip, because they didn't lead any civilizations in that series, obviously, but K-On! Is a series that I like, and I like the characters in it, and I thought it'd be interesting to make a sip based on that and pick up some interesting mechanics based around great musicians. Well, this sip will actually have a unique great musician as its unique unit, which I thought was the only fitting thing we could do there.
Sounds different. What would it do differently to the existing great musician, then? How would it be better? Have you thought of that mechanic?
Yes. For the concert tour, as well as that, of course, it produces more tourism to the civilization you send it to, but less. The normal great musician also gives some tourism to all the other civs you know as well. So this great musician will give less the other civs, and its other unique component is that it produces great works of music that generate great person points depending on how influential you are over other civilizations.
And have you thought about how that's going to be coded? Because like, a lot of the Brave New World stuff was fairly hard coded into the game, so it might be difficult to actually get that done.
Yes, I know, like, for example, tourism is one of the yields that it's hard to create because you can't stack when you use dummy buildings.
Yeah.
But the unique great works of music that give you yields has been done before by Spurs Ferocious Hachine Miku Sip, so I know that part is possible.
Oh, yeah. That's something that I don't like about the fiction authors, like Rob was saying earlier, about how they often have mechanics that get overlooked in the more historical sieves because you don't have that limitation of having to try and fit to a historical base of the sieve. Like Nubia, for example, we had to stick to bows and a desert theme because that was what they were historically, whereas with something like the fictional sieve, you don't have that limitation and you've got a lot more freedom to move.
Yes, but at the same time, I don't want to give them something that's completely unrelated to them either. So there's more freedom, but you still have some bounds you have to work within.
And I guess as well, instead of having to wait around for somebody to do a lead ahead, if it's a fictional civilization, chances are there's some green already there or something you can use for a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that really depends on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes it might not have a high-resolution screen that would work for a leader screen, for example, like when you're in diplomacy, because if the only high-res features you get are like an action scene, that doesn't really work when it's supposed to be just a meeting between leaders, for example.
What's the latest with Light, then, COF?
Well, as you know, Light is basically a team between me and Regalman. Recently, as most people know, that Regalman has been busy with real life, so you don't see him online often. And it's kind of been the same for me. For the most part, the only civ I can give much information about are the Ainu, the native people of northern Japan. Civilization is actually progressing fairly well. We have a somewhat working build, which sadly is filled with bugs, but that will get sorted out eventually.
Well, that's a ways away.
What's unique about the Ainu then?
Well, they were kind of similar to other people who lived in the north. Mostly did fishing and hunting. And so they have a bit of a focus towards animals. Their unique building gives them, for example, +1 faith on every animal resource that they are working. So that includes fish, whales, crabs, deer, and basically cows, sheep, and all that. Their unique unit is actually probably the uniquest part of the whole civ. Their name literally means winter hunter. So if you put them on an unimproved animal resource, they will provide one food and one culture to the nearest city. So you don't even have to work the tile and you should be able to get those yields. But of course, at one point, these yields will kind of become too low and you will have to eventually improve the tile. And at that point, the unique unit will be obsolete anyway, so I think that's fair trade. As far as the unique ability, that one is actually also really unique in the sense that some people criticized it as in rewarding you for killing your own units, but the way it works is if you lose a unit in combat, your nearest city will get yields for that unit. For example, if you lose an archer, your nearest city will get food. The problem with that is if the yield is too great, you will just make suicidal units and to just kill them off. And thankfully, the yields are not that big, so in the end, it just lowers the punishment you get for losing your units, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
It makes perfect sense to me.
And another regard is that every unit provides a different yield. It's not random, so every archer you lose will give you food. Every warrior, I'm not sure which one it was, but it was either production or culture, faith, or stuff like that.
All right, okay.
And would that be, like, consistent along different lines? So, like, if the archer, crossbowman would all give food?
Yeah, it works like that. I think the way it was coded was, like, archer units, so, like, all ranged units. Or what's the name for scouts and such? I think they have a specific name, if I remember correctly. Basically, that's the way they are coded. So I think even if you have Enlightenment era and such installed, explorers and other units will also work.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Did a few leader screens, for example, Urdot Scott is making his own Granada Civ, and actually did a leader screen for that, which I'm actually surprised over how well it turned out.
But that's the thing, though, with art, you always criticize your own work. You always think it's not as good as the next thing.
Always your worst critic.
Thanks, but I think I still have a long way to improve to a point where I can be satisfied with what I do.
Sukutat will say, I could do better the next time. And he's sensational. So, doing all right.
I also did The Modern Japan that I'm doing collaboration with Our World. That's also a really good one that's upcoming. I did one for Virgil. Is that how that's pronounced? I have really no idea how your people's names are pronounced. And he was planning to do a Strathclyde. Once again, pronunciation is probably way off.
I'm using that in Anno Domini. I really like that leader head.
And I offered that one for the Celtic Split, since more civs took that one from Hiram, or inherited, however you want to say it.
I think inherited is slightly more diplomatic.
Okay, yeah. And basically, whenever they decide what they're doing with that civ, I hope they can use that leader screen, or not. It's up to them.
At least it's in a mod. It's in Anno Domini, and very well received it was as well. And I was delighted that you allowed me to use it. So thank you.
Well, definitely no issue, better than just leaving it on my PC doing nothing. I mean, I'm really glad you're using it. A lot of people seem to use Anno Domini.
Yes, thank you. What do you think the barriers are to modding in Civ 5? Or what was the biggest barriers that you've encountered? I think you touched on one earlier on, Paokai, with the art.
Yeah, it's difficult because it's like a lot of that sort of stuff is more on the theoretical side of things, like what I was talking about with the tourism. It's that instead of just outright, we can't do, or we don't have art or whatever, it's more that we can't do this command and move it or whatever, or we can't check when a specific unit killed someone or something. And so, on the surface, that doesn't seem like it would be an issue, but it actually means that you can't do this effect, or this effect, and you have to try and think about different ways to go about doing the same thing, and that creates a lot of limitations in my experience, where you've got something that you want to do, but you can't actually do it because the code within the lure isn't there.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's definitely a problem I've encountered. If I can give an example here, like, one of my stiff ideas I've been doing, I wanted something to happen when you gifted a certain unit to another civilization, and there's no real way you can hook that, so you have to sort of try and find another way of achieving that effect.
Neither I or Regelman are talented in coding, so we pretty much have to rely on other people to do Lua code for us, and that's really an issue, because for one, we have to keep asking people to spend their valuable time for our sake, and that's kind of an awkward situation, at least for me. And then it also delays the sieves. Sometimes the code will not work, then we have to go bother the people again, and so on. And we can't always rely on them having time.
Absolutely. One of the biggest barriers was the fact that everyone seems to have a different setup on their PC for the game.
Yeah.
Compatibility for a new mod, such as my own, the one I did, is very, very difficult because there's quite a few people that come up with bugs that they see appearing that you can't see appearing on your version. It's because they might have EUI loaded or they might have something else they run alongside it, or they might not have a particular DLC.
Yeah.
That in itself makes it a bit trickier. So, you know, I'm hoping that if they do another version of Civ, they do some mechanic which basically says, right, this will work to the best of this PC's setup's capabilities, for example.
Yeah. So many mods now, including every unit, is pretty much impossible.
That's a big problem with unique improvements I've found. We've got a lot of people saying, oh, I've got this bug where this improvement shows up as red and white checkerboard texture. And that's because they've got, or they're running the DX9 version of the game, whereas people running the DX11 version don't get that issue.
Yeah.
And on a more extreme scale, with the Buccaneers stuff that we did for April Fools a couple of years ago, the unique improvement in that, for some reason, people with AMD graphics cards couldn't use it at all. It would completely glitch out their game. And because all of the people testing it had NVIDIA graphics cards, they couldn't, or we couldn't see the problem before it was released, and we can't test it to see if we've got a fix.
Yeah, makes it impossible to test because people say, right, well, this is what's happened, can you go ahead and fix it? Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
That could be a difficulty.
It tends to happen. I don't really want to say any names, but a guy on Steam recently contacted me. The modder Dr. Applejuice made a fictional civilization from that manga Bleach. And I actually helped a bit on it, like design-wise and stuff like that. And that guy contacted me saying how the Civ doesn't even show up. It's basically as if he didn't install the mod. And I basically tried asking him stuff, whether he has that or that. And from what turns out, he doesn't actually own any of the expansions.
Oh.
I'm not 100% sure whether it requires the expansions, but I told him it may be the issue. So
yeah, most mods nowadays require at least one of the expansions, because it was one of the issues of culture changing over with Gods and Kings. With my mods and the Wonders, is that they changed how culture worked, and so all of them had to be updated, which meant if you didn't have expansions, none of them worked anymore.
Yeah, but sometimes when you have a lot of mods installed, even if you have an issue, you have no idea whether it is the mod itself or some other mod, and even if it is other mods, you have no idea which one it can be.
Yes. I find that when the mods are put up on Steam, that you get some really awful comments that suggest that the mod just doesn't work, it's full of bugs, etc. It's actually the fact that they haven't got everything set up correctly situation, and people can be quite rude sometimes.
Yeah.
The other thing I was suggesting as well within that is that, for example, let's say if Fraxis did Civ 5 again, one thing I would ask them to do is my Anno Domini mod, Babylon's quite clearly in there. Now, there was a Babylon DLC, which some people have, some people don't. I think most people have got it, but let's just use this as an example. I would like them to say, right, well, the mod goes out with Babylon included, and the PC checks whether or not you have that DLC. If you have, then Babylon's included in the game. If you haven't, then you can still play the mod, but it's just that Babylon isn't included. And I'd like them to have done something of that nature, and I hope that if they do another version of Civ, that they consider that.
Yeah.
I think one important barrier that still exists is getting the AI to understand your unique abilities, because the AI is actually pretty hard-coded in what it does. So if you have a unique unit that has some really special ability, that it might be hard to get the AI to actually make use of that. It might be easy for a player to do it, but to get the AI to do it in some constant way may well be impossible, depending on what the actual ability is.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the AI quite often doesn't do things that you would expect it to do without mods, you know?
Yes, I mean, there's a classic example of it embarking all of its units when it's trying to bite you and making them easy targets.
One that I notice quite a bit is the Great General not creating a citadel and just moving around, where creating a citadel might get another luxury or two, or get some land that it really could use.
There's only so much you can try and do without modifying the DLL, and that's not really feasible if you want it to be compatible with something like various mod components or the community patch. And the source code, even though it's available, it might just be hard for someone who's not experienced in C++ coding to modify it in a way that works nicely.
Last modcast we had the god who is W. Howard69. To him it's second nature to do all those things, but I couldn't imagine even where to start modding the DLL, I've got to admit.
I've read some stuff from Potion from too that even he finds the AI code to be a quagmire, basically.
One barrier I have encountered, as you know, I pretty much just do art, like code is definitely not something I can do well. And the Civ 5 art style is actually really hard to replicate, in my opinion. I pretty much started doing this ever since, I don't know, when I picked up Civ modding, just track up whenever I joined the forum. Yeah, even though I've improved a lot over the time, it's just making a leader screen, for example, that when you look at it, you feel comfortable, like, yeah, I could see this being in the game. Kind of like Jan Boruta makes them. That is actually really hard to do. Even with stuff like icons and others, it's still really difficult. Take, for example, Beyond Earth. The icons in Beyond Earth are actually really easy to replicate. And even if you make any of them, just put some gradient filter on them with the right colors and they will work perfectly in the game. But in Civ 5, you can put on as many filters as everything you want. Unless you can draw the icons yourself, they will stand out.
Recorded for episode 60 with Rob R8XFT, Jan Boruta, Alpha Shard, Lee S, and Vice Virtuoso.
I will surely get Civ 6 on launch, no matter what, because I don't care if I lose the money. I know I will have the value returned when I play over 10 hours or something like that.
I think in my case, I've got enough to do with Civ 5 that I'll be A-okay with waiting for a Civilization 6 Gold Edition to be on a 75% off Steam sale.
Well, that's why I never bothered with Civ 4 very much, because I'd still got things I wanted to do with Civ 3. And at the time, the Civ 4 community wasn't really up for an Anno Domini or any ancient mods. They'd already got what they wanted at the time. So, you know, there's still more to do with Civ 3, and I stuck with that until Civ 5 came out. There's still people modding for Civ 2, so, you know, hey. There's always going to be the thing that you'll notice that the creation and customization forums at Civ Fanatics will always be more populated by the previous version until that second expansion comes out.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Then you see suddenly a kind of almost golden age about a year after that second expansion came out, where people have started to work out how they're going to actually mod the game. Artists such as Jan coming forward and starting to do some wonderful things. And that's the point where Civ really takes off, and I guess it gets its longevity from.
I don't really like this whole pattern that they've been doing since, I guess, Part 4, where it's not good until 2 expansion packs, and they continued it with Civ 5 and Beyond Earth, it appears, so far. And why can't the game be good when it comes out, and then an expansion, you know, expands the game and not makes the game better, you know? I mean,
there is a reason that Ed Beach actually gave for that, and it's a really good question that you make there, and that's that they haven't worked out how to do it.
I mean, Civ 2 had fantastic worlds. You didn't need that for vanilla, but it was a nice addition to have dinosaurs and magic, but, you know, it wasn't a requirement to make the game good.
Yeah, but the thing is, what they could do is rush out with all different systems and have it all untested. And this is why they waited for things like trade and religion. When Gods and Kings came out, they said, right, well, you know, we waited till now to see how the game's being played, what feedback we've got, and then we can put another layer on top. So we're almost training the people that bought Civ 5 on how to play it, and then we're going to throw this extra layer on top, because it's almost too much for people to take everything all in one go, and it's also too much for us to program everything all in one go. So what we're going to give you is a good game that can only get better with more expansions. And I guess as well, we're not blind to the fact there's also a financial bonus to them to actually do that and capitalising on that. And why not? Because people can still buy it.
There were people that felt that Civ 5 vanilla, and I think even vanilla Civ 4 was kind of bad. Or at least that there were some very glaring issues with it. Because I remember Civ 5 vanilla, it didn't look very good graphically, and that the UI didn't look very good. It looked very plain, very basic, until the expansions, and they made it nicer and better. But there's some things that are just unavoidable. I guess it's a good point about the religion and the espionage. They felt like it wasn't ready to release, and they wanted to work on that more.
The other advantage, don't forget, is with the extra Civs as well. The Civs became more detailed, I think, as the expansions went on. A civilization out of Gods and Kings, and particularly out of Brave New World, is much better designed than a civilization out of the original pack. So maybe, again, over time, with feedback, they can think, right, how can we actually improve this game? What mechanisms can we put in? And that's what they've done, certainly, with that cycle. And they expect the same thing with Civ 6, that we will get a base game that is nowhere near its potential, but over the course of 2 expansions does. But
something they can do in Civ 6 is you could buy mercenaries from city-states and probably buy units that your Civ can't make, but like another Civ could.
Well, don't forget as well that the guys at Fire Access do play our mods, and they get some ideas from them. So they see what the modding community does and thinks, yeah, that would be a very good idea. We might bring that in. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like events and decisions or some similar mechanism did come into Civ 6.
That does need to be greater detail, I agree on that. The events and decisions, the quests that are in Civ 5 now are nice to do with the city-states. But I kind of liked Civ 4 stuff where you had to build certain kind of things or settle a city in a certain place.
I think what they might do with city-states is make them a bit more varied. I know we've got the mercantile, I know we've got the military ones, but apart from giving a unit and a couple of other things, it doesn't do very much differently. But imagine if we had a city-state where the city-state might be Sparta, for example, and that would be a threat and might want to take over a civilization, then become one.
On the note of Firaxis devs playing mods, did they add anything from Civ 4 mods to Civ 5 in the beginning?
Well, back in the Civ 3 days, I put unique buildings out for Civ 3. And then all of a sudden, they had unique buildings. Now, I'm not saying it's just from that that they got it, but they do look at that sort of idea and think, how could that actually work for us? Could that be something we put in? When Civ 4 came out, they didn't have unique buildings originally. It was only an expansion pack that brought that in. And it was more or less the same time that I brought that out. And there's other modders that have done other things as well where, you know, pretty much roughly the time they do it, the next expansion pack or the next game has something that's been in a mod. But I think that the Civ 5 modders have been much more prolific in designing things like events and decisions or mercenaries and all the other little extras that you get. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of those didn't come into Civ 6.
W. Howard's DLL?
Yeah.
There was a Civ 5 patch that actually added a lot of the event hooks W. Howard put in his DLL to the core game.
Yeah.
So that alone showed that there are employees at Firaxis looking through mods. And actually, they implemented something I did for Beyond Earth to load custom quests and custom quest objectives.
Well, also, I think as well, Jan could take some credit because you and JFD did a version of Venice.
Yes.
And I think it's after that that Venice suddenly became in the mix.
Yeah, we did that just after Gods and Kings came out.
Yeah, that was popular. And I think they think, oh, well, we'll have Venice, but are we going to do it differently? So, you never know. I mean, again, I'm not saying it's necessarily because of me, but I brought out Boudica for Civ 3, and that was quite a popular leaderhead at the time. Then all of a sudden, both versions of Civ have had Boudica, so you never know. They might gauge which leaderheads are being done. Are they popular? Shall we try them in the base game? Obviously, there's much better artwork. Poland as well. Not only the outcry from the modding community, but the Polands that have been done prior to the Firaxis version.
Yeah, there was a good mod for Civ 4.
Yeah.
With three versions of Polands with voice acting for units and such. Very influential. I think it was even included in the gold edition of Civ 4 when they said farewell to this iteration.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that there hasn't been a Finland in the Firaxis versions as well, because Finland, there's a lot of Finnish fans of Civ. You know, there are a few created in Civ 3 that were Finnish, so you never know.
Yeah.
Sweden was new for a similar reason, I think, as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
I'm also a bit surprised that Firaxis haven't put in their own Canada and or Australia.
Yeah, I am surprised.
Well, they were discussing for Brave New World that they had one colonial nation to choose, and they chose Brazil.
Yeah.
And the others were Canada and Australia, I suspect. So it was close.
Phil, maybe those could be candidates to add to Civ 6.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because despite them being colonial civs, I don't think you only need to have one. I think that, you know, they've got a big following, haven't they, both of those nations?
Well, we have the USA all the time.
Well, you always get USA, you always get England, you always get Rome, Egypt, Persia. Those are the stock ones, aren't they? China as well. There's never been a Civ created without those base nations, as they're probably known as in the first version that comes out of the game before the expansion. So there'll always be America in there, I would think. Of course, it'll be very arguable how it's been done, but there we go. It's another matter, isn't it?
Mexico. If you think about it, prior to the Mexican-American War, Mexico was a big power in North America.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of still is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it became overshadowed by the United States as a result of the War of 1848. But before that, seen as kind of a coin toss as to which of those two North American nations was going to be the dominant one.
Argentina, that's never been in there, has it?
You could pretty much go around the horn, as it were, in South America and pick pretty much any of the modern South American nations and do that Civ, whether it's the modern version or the original leader who was involved in throwing off the European control. I think any one of those would be interesting for Civ 6.
Yeah, they were in colonization. So they have been in Civ series, let's say, in one form or another. But we definitely could have them in a base game.
There's a lot of speculation at the moment about whether or not there will be a Civ 6, and If so, is it coming out this year? Is it coming out next year? There's even people suggesting that there might be some sort of announcement at PAX East. So, just as a speculation, if there is such a thing as Civ 6 coming out, what are your hopes for that? What would you like to see happen?
I think I have a thing which I actually really expect to happen. Ever since Civ 5 was released, we've seen a lot of 4X games come out. Endless Legend, Endless Space, that's pretty much a new franchise created. And what it seems that most of these new 4X games have is a create-your-own custom civilization or civilization feature. I kind of expect Civ 6 to have that as well.
So, like, inbuilt way inbuilt. To create your own civilization.
Yeah, for example, like Europa Universalis 4, that also has that feature now. You just select a few provinces, name a nation from that. Something like that. You make an icon, you name your nation, leader, and stuff like that. And choose a bonus.
Wow. Sounds like an idea.
Well, I'm hoping that, even though I don't play, I know that XCOM 2, that Firaxis gave it that incredible mod support by releasing all of their source code models and tools and all that, if I remember correctly. And I hope that they are equally as generous with Civ 6, like, really increase the amount of support they give modders. Like, not just all the lure hooks and that here, like, get lots of material we can start work on. And that might also to more easily make our new mods fit into the game. Like, because COF talking about how hard it is to replicate the art style of Civ 5, lead screens, icons, and all that. So if we have templates, models, and all that from Firaxis, like, we might be able to make our Civs and other mods look like they're a part of the base game, which I'll put out there right now that some good Civ 5 modders do make great stuff that look out of place in the base game. But to have that support additionally would be excellent, I feel.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question. I think the main thing is that it needs to be moddable. Back when Civ 5 was first being released, they talked it up as being the most moddable Civ ever. And, and it could be modded and everything, but it was really difficult at the start. You lacked all the modding tools. Half the stuff was blocked off.
I think they missed part of that sentence, didn't they? It's the most moddable Civ ever if you have the skills to do it.
Yeah.
And that's a big if.
And so, I mean, eventually it got better and you got the SDK come out and we got access to font icons and got access to other aspects of it that we didn't have at the start. But it was just that was missing and you didn't actually get, or you had all these parts of it that were blocked off. And that meant that what I was talking about earlier with saying, oh, I'd love to do this, but I can't because we don't have access. And you just had that in a lot more aspects of the whole thing.
Yeah. I think one of my hopes is that, pretty much similar to yours actually, in that I think this time round, things like units, it's taken a long time for us to actually sort of get any modern prominence, and likewise animated leaderheads. So it'd be good to have maybe something from Firaxis of how to do it. So we knew we had that good mod by, was it Kale brought out a basic how to mod?
Yeah.
But I think there needs to be probably some more example mods out there that Firaxis do.
The graphics engine in Civ 5 that released any specifications for that, all the work the Liberator and that have done to try to get our import and export of models has all been done by reverse engineering the original code. So it would be great to have some better support for models out the box in Civ 6.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm hoping for is that it's easy to get compatibility from other versions of Civ. So we've mentioned so many times on these modcasts the fantastic work that a lot of people have done. One of the things that I was thinking was that certainly in Civ 5, the leaders cover the whole screen. So no matter how the leaders are presented, if there is a Civ 6, if it's a full screen or part screen, there's going to be something you can take from the leaderheads in Civ 5 and port them straight into Civ 6, I'm hoping. And it'd be nice to see if all those units from Civ 4 can be put into the next version of Civ, if indeed it's the same style of 3D, which I'd imagine it would be.
Well, yeah, we saw that with Beyond Earth when it came out too, because you had the similar sort of leader sold that you had with Civ 5, but it only took up part of the screen, so you didn't have that similar background that you could have to add character to the screen, and you had to focus entirely just on the figure itself.
Yeah. If it was something like a full screen leaderhead, for example, Firaxis have already done 50-odd of their own. So it'd be great if they could also do something that's an easy sort of conversion of some of those units from leaderheads into the next version. I don't think they will, though, because of licensing, but hey, I think if they don't do it, a modern probably will. I mean, of course, there could also be another expansion pack for Beyond Earth. We don't know what the next project is, because there's only been one of the expansion pack, and sometimes, they do tend to do two, so it might be they do another Beyond Earth expansion before they even consider Civ 6, I don't know.
Yeah, I think every game since Civ 3 has had two expansions, hasn't it? So that is the precedent. It's whether they continue.
Yeah. Isn't it 25 years this year since they had the original Civilization?
I think so. Yeah, 1991.
Yeah, so it might be that, you know, on the anniversary it might be suitable to have another version, I don't know. But let's look out for PAX East, and you never know, they might announce it there, if not, or whatever project they're working on. If not, there's a few other conventions coming up that they might just give us some hints. Right, again, tied in with the fact that we think that maybe Civ 6 might be coming up. If it does, and you like Civ 6 equally as much as you like Civ 5, will your modding efforts suddenly go straight to Civ 6 and you just work on that exclusively? Do you think you would do a bit of Civ 5 and Civ 6, or do you think you're going to complete your projects with Civ 5 first and then wait until Civ 6 has had its expansions before you start modding it? That's quite a long question.
I think it depends on a lot of factors, but more Civs, that's not just me. I've got Jan, I've got Super Chat, I've got 20 other people that all do stuff for it, and if all of them want to move over to Civ 6, then I've got really no choice on whether I can move or stay. And at the same time, if they want to stick with Civ 5, then I'll stick with Civ 5. It could be that when Civ 6 is released, it's difficult to actually mod it, and so we have to wait until we can get into it properly before we can make the mods that we want to. I think on the whole, I would want to try and finish off what I've started with Civ 5 first, because I still have got a lot of stuff there that needs to be done, but yeah, it depends.
I'm with Hokai, basically. Like, it depends on what 6 is like when it comes out. If it's got good mod support, easy to mod, then maybe I'll try dabbling in some Civ 6 mods. But unlike Hokai, though, I generally do all my stuff by myself. So I'm not slave to whether my artist or someone wants to move to Civ 6, then I have to go with them. Like, I can potentially stay in Civ 5 if I want to. And there's still plenty of stuff I want to do for Civ 5. It's still a fun game to play and quite enjoyable to play too. I do enjoy the modding experiment. Most of the time, anyway. There's some things that you get annoyed with. But
yeah. Do you think that in terms of civilizations, for example, would you think, oh, well, such and such a civilization that I've done really worked well, it was really popular, so that must be my first project for Civ 6? Or would you say, well, let me just try something new first?
Well, I guess that also depends on abilities and units that are handled in Civ 6. Like, a similar structure like unique ability to unique components, then it might be easy to port, but if it's something completely different, then I might need to think about a redesign.
Yeah. And I think it'd be good maybe to get a Civ 2 out there before JFD catches up with lots of additions that you've got to make your Civ compatible with. There might be that.
I guess we can use Beyond Earth as an example on how it shouldn't happen. Basically, Firaxis had this trend with Civilization 5 and Beyond Earth, where the vanilla game was really bare bones at best. And then they had to use expansions to make it enjoyable. If Civ 6 turns out that way, well, we see what happened to Beyond Earth. People made a few mods, and then the expansion hit, and basically half of those mods were unplayable, and people were just so sick and tired of Beyond Earth. Most of these mods were not updated to work. And I think with Civ 6, Firaxis needs to pay a lot of attention to make the game originally enjoyable even without mods, to motivate modders to make it even better.
I think that could be a potential issue too. Like, you probably know that SimSpeak is going to have its expansion. So if I make mods for the base game, they might be made not work when the next expansion comes out, and then you have to go back to them and fix them up and then re-release them. So there's that fact of, do you want to start modding at the start when you know there's going to be expenses that may or may not break your mod, or wait until all the expenses to come out and then take advantage of all the features and the fact that they're probably not going to be broken by another update?
See, I did that with Anno Domini. I did put out a version for the original Civ, etc. Found that if I'd have, in retrospect, waited till Brave New World and got something out then, I still would have had all these things that came out afterwards that I needed to add to it. I think they always have to leave some room for other things they can do there within the expansion packs. For example, with 5, as you know, religion wasn't in the vanilla game. I would expect, not to be necessarily bare bones, but I would expect it would have missing features that would come in later. But I don't think it would be the same as the extent of Beyond Earth, though.
There is room for expansion beyond all that stuff, though. Like, quote from, I think it was Dennis Shirk, doing an interview after Brave New World, and they were talking about the content in it, and he essentially said, and I'm going to be paraphrasing, but he said that they're doing 6,000 years of human history. There's enough stuff there to make expansion packs for years, and it's just a matter of deciding when they want to stop making the expansions rather than when they run out of material. So I think there is room to keep adding in content, and we've seen that with all the mods that have come in after Brave New World.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's a fair point.
So even if they did start with Brave New World as base of 5, there would still be room for a couple expansions worth of content.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of things that could be added, quite right. People have also said, you know, with a new Civ, you're starting from scratch, so why should I move from Civ 5, which has got everything I imagined at the moment, to something that where I'm starting off again? So hopefully it will be a more interesting and diverting setup that captures our imagination in a completely different way when and if Civ 6 comes out.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Calling today, in North America the number is 301-637-7659. In Europe, 44-121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
Okay, shall we call it a wrap there then, or...?
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, thanks again. I really appreciate it, guys.
It's a pleasure to be invited.
No, you're more than welcome, and I'm sure you'll be on another one in the future. That's everything then for Modcast 63. Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts today have been myself, Rob, R8XFT, joined by...
Palakai.
See you where?
Hi, Clements.
Thank you for listening. Awesome. See you all around.
Yep.
See ya.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Joining me today are...
COF.
Hello, Clive. Oh, sorry.
It's alright.
With help from... Is it pronounced Luigi? I have no idea how that stands for.
I don't think anyone knows how his name's pronounced.
I just wanted to ask you what you consider to be the... any boundaries... Oh, sorry. It's early morning for me. Let's start that question again. Record date, April the 8th, 2016.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.